south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Got some spot-on emails today, like this one from one of our many Daves. So Dave to the X-Power says, I have some suggestions about a new expat report you might consider doing. Now that we may need vaccine passports for flying, I'm considering driving to Central America, specifically Guatemala, from now on. If you can put together a report, Johnny, that maybe outlines the safest routes to drive from the border states southward, that'd be great. I personally have the unique ability to go through any of the U.S. states, as I deliver motorhomes from the manufacturer in northern Indiana to points all over the U.S. I tow my Honda Element behind, so after the unit's delivered, I hop in my car and drive home. So I can easily pick up a dealership close to the border town and head south for a while. Anyway, Johnny, if you had a report like that and how you could drive down safely, I'd pay for that info, and I'm sure others would too. Signed, Four-Toed Jones, a.k.a. one of the many Daves that writes into the show. All right, Dave, funny you asked that question because I have a couple of reports, I think. Two or three, at least. They've got precisely what you're asking for. Complete descriptions from listeners who actually made that trip down, mostly from Texas. They were very detailed about their trips and the paperwork necessary, where they stayed, what roads they went on, etc., etc. How many times they got stopped and hit for bribes, mordidas, you know? Of course, all this was before the COVIDiot stuff. It had to be, right? People write occasionally asking me what are the best routes to take down. And, you know, having never done that drive myself, but knowing many people who have, I just send them those boots-on-the-ground stories from the people who have. But the thing is, you know, when you drive down, you're taking a chance. For example, when Bitcoin Dan drove down his mobile home from Canada all the way to Guatemala for one of my seminars, I believe he got hit up three or four times for bribes, mordida, that is. Got robbed twice, too, by bandidos, not just cops. And he also got into two fender benders along the way. Of course, he was pulling a big old motor home. So it couldn't have been very easy, though he reported most of the roads around the cities anyway were in pretty good condition, though out in the boonies you could sometimes find potholes bigger than Volkswagens. And do remember, if you drive down, you'll be going through lots of mountainous country and some hairpin turns too. And Latin Americans, you know, have a habit of passing on curves and blind spots. Even though the roads are painted with a double yellow line, which means don't pass, that means nothing to Latin American drivers. Especially truckers and chicken buses. They always pass on curves. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I've seen flipped trucks, chicken buses, and destroyed motorcycles. You can bet it's almost always their fault, too. That means you have to be an extremely defensive driver. Oh, and you have to be aware, if you drive down, Mexico has got states. Like the U.S. has 50, they have 32. They've got their own version of state patrol cops, too. And they're all corrupt, meaning they're all taking bribes. Fact is, most of them consider bribes part of the job. The extra tips they get besides their regular pay. Well, that means if they see an obvious gringo with gringo plates on his car, plates from California, Texas, Nevada, etc., that's who the cops are going to pick on. Why pick on the locals when they can hit up rich gringos on vacation who are out of their element and don't speak Spanish, so they really can't defend themselves? Yep, you're a target, all right, and they'll squeeze you. They'll ask to see your papers and license, of course. They'll find something wrong with them. They'll make something up to try to trap you, because your Spanish will never be good enough to go through the documents and know what they're actually saying. You'll end up paying a bribe of 50 or 100 bucks, get waved on through with a smile, only to be stopped some hours later when you cross the border to the next Mexican state, because the cop will have called ahead and said, hey, I've got a mark for you, a gringo in a green Mitsubishi Montero license plate so-and-so. Was good for 100 bucks. Just saying. Yep, I've heard that story many times. Of course, there's always a chance nothing at all will happen to you. It'll be smooth sailing, especially if you're driving a normal kind of non-glitzy car. Now, like I said, I've never made that drive, but I have made the drive plenty of times from Panama City, Panama, all the way up to Mexico, driving the other way on the Pan-American Highway. That is, driving north. And I've been pulled over a number of times, too. So I've paid bribes in lots of Latin countries. Nicaragua, Honduras, Mexico, Costa Rica, Belize. Although in Nicaragua and Honduras, it wasn't exactly a bribe. It just was a cop asking, even pleading for something. Whether it was they didn't have enough money for gas or Christmas was coming and the kids needed presents. Yep, they used the Christmas present bit too. But believe me, in Mexico, when it comes to mordida, the cops give you the hard sell. Nothing soft about it. They've been kind of conditioned over the years to the fact that gringos and expats will fork out dough rather rapidly, other than risking having their cars towed away. Even though 98% of the time, the threat is really BS. But as they say, they've got you by the short ones. Especially if your Spanish sucks. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not against driving down from the States to any place in Central America. But you know, you are tossing a coin because almost no one gets through completely unscathed. Oh, and by the way, when Bitcoin Dan got in those two fender benders, one was in Guatemala and one was in Mexico, he didn't want to argue whose fault it was. In fact, the cars he was involved with were rusted out wrecks. So he shelled out, I think it was $100 to each of them, and everyone was happy. I mean, really, what's one more dent in a rusted out, completely banged up 1982 Nissan Sentra? Oh, and by the way, just to give you an idea how bad things can get when you're on the gringo tourist trail, I remember once I was in Costa Rica, as the Canadians say, in a big supermarket parking lot. I had the basket in the parking lot unloading the groceries into the trunk. And you know how carts have a way of kind of taking off and rolling a ways from you? Well, mine did and touched this guy's piece of crap car. And get this, the guy's probably 30 years old. He walked over and said, I owed him. I had to pay money for the damage I did to his car with the shopping cart. Now, his car was not new. In fact, I think it was more like 7 or 8 years old and had a number of dings, bangs, and scratches in it. And I could tell he didn't have a garage because his son had baked the hell out of his paint job and upholstery. You know how cars get, especially in the tropics, when they're continuously in the sun day after day. And you know, in that moment, when that guy came up to me and said I owed him for damages to his car, I thought, this guy's your typical jaded Costa Rican. And you know, those shopping carts can get away from you. That's why they have plastic bumpers on them. So you really have to slam into another car or have intent to actually do any damage. But since I was an obvious gringo in the most gringoized Latin American country, the mindset there is that every gringo's a dollar sign. Oh, and he could speak in broken English too, because you know, practically all Costa Ricans know some English. That's the other legacy of too many gringos in the country. So anyway, we got into it a little bit. I told him he was crazy, his car was a junk. Show me how the scratch, wherever it was any different than the 30 or 40 other scratches in his car. But he wasn't budge. He was trying to sink a hook into a gringo. So he called over the parking lot rent-a-cop, who also spoke a bit of English. I said, would you look at this guy's car and tell me which scratch I'm responsible for? And get this, the rent-a-cop took the guy's side and said, how much do you think it's worth? And the other guy said, oh, around $100. It figures. Isn't it funny that $100 seems to be the bandage that cures all wounds? So what I do, I said, well, why don't you write down my plate number and sue me? And I even walked over the front of the car and read off the numbers on the plate for him. Then I said, let's call our insurance companies and we'll have them come over here and fight it out, okay? And that's when the conversation ended, because you see, the guy had no insurance. And believe it or not, in most Latin American countries, it's illegal not to have car insurance, a basic liability for something like $100 to $200 a year. But almost no one with a dinged out junk car ever gets it. But the thing is, you see, you're supposed to have it. And if you get into an accident, you're automatically in the wrong. You're guilty. So you got to fork out the damages. Again, almost no one with a junk car ever does. That's why there are so many court cases where a judge has ruled in one guy's favor in an accident because of no insurance. And the other guy's been ordered to pay, but he just never does. And there's no enforcement to go out there to make him pay. So as it turns out, there are thousands of people driving the roads in every big and small Latin American city who got court judgments against them for some amount they're supposed to pay, though most never fork out a cent. And the only time a guy like that will ever go to jail, even though he doesn't have the required insurance, is if someone in the car accident died or someone was injured enough to end up in the hospital. But for simple fender benders, people with shitboxes and no insurance just walk away. And sometimes repeat offenders will abandon their junk car and leave the scene. And it's the people with decent newer cars that suffer, which is reason 2,426 why it's not a good idea to have a brand new high-end car here in Latin America. The fact is, it'll cause you a lot of stress. You'll end up worrying about it all the time because no new car ends up staying new for long. Not with all the dickhead drivers down here. Oh, and if you factor in that up to 50% of motorcyclists don't have valid driver's licenses, that should be reason enough not to get a nice new car. But I digress. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Driving down from the States to Central America. Well, again, I've got some nice, very thorough boots-on-the-ground stories from people who've done just that. So if you're interested in looking that stuff over, send me an email, thexpatfiles@gmail.com. All right, now comes an email from the Altiplano Drifter. We haven't heard from him in a long time. He was Expat Insider Seminar alumnus. He says, Johnny, I want to buy two specific handguns that are widely available in the States. Does Guatemala City have a good selection of handguns at reasonable prices, or should I buy them here and ship them by Rapidito Express or other courier service? Cheers, signed, The Drifter. All right, Mr. D., you say you've got two specific handguns in mind that are widely available in the States. Well, I'll tell you this. If they're widely available in the States, they're available in Guatemala. Because, you see, Guatemala City alone, I think, has got something like 50 gun stores with a very wide selection. And once you're a resident, you can buy as many guns as you want. Problem is, though, you see, the Guatemalan government and all Latin American governments that allow guns put about 100% tax on your gun. So whatever you can buy up in the States, you'll pay probably around twice as much for it down here. The other catch-22 is that even if you own those guns up in the States and you try to ship them down, they're likely to be stuck in customs for months, even years. And then you'll pay 100% import tax on those. Shipping them down is just no easy process at all. I'd advise highly against it. My advice, if you have guns up in the States, sell them. And once you get down here, buy something similar locally. So then you might ask why it's such a huge gouge. Well, again, that's because governments have a hell of a time collecting taxes down here. Almost no one pays income tax, and if they do pay it, it's a tiny amount, below 10, even 5%. So then lard-ass corrupt Latin governments have only a few other ways to pick your pockets legally. Number one is through the value-added tax, you know, that 10, 15, 20, depending on which country you're in, tax that's applied to everything you buy. Number two, the gas tax. They hit you heavy there, too. Extremely heavy. There's usually 100 to 200% tax on gas. That's why here in Latin America, it's usually $3 to $4 a gallon, depending on which Latin country you're in. And the spot price of a gallon of unleaded gas today is $1.40. So whatever you pay over that is pure thievery, pure tax. And the third way Latin governments collect money to eventually steal is through stupid, brain-dead first world government donations, grants, and joint failed programs like the failed war on drugs. In fact, it's been estimated by various think tanks that at least 20% is stolen right off the top by Latin politicians and bureaucrats, with an additional 50% of that money wasted or squandered along the way. But you knew that already, right? Maybe not the exact numbers, but you knew it was completely out of control. Bottom line, Mr. Drifter, buy your guns when you get down here. Sure, you'll get gouged, but you'll have your guns. They'll be legal, too. All right, now an email from Brett, a gentleman who's signed up for the next Expat Insider Seminar, who my seminar logistics lady, Rita, set up for a series of dental appointments in Guatemala City. So even though I postponed the seminar, which is supposed to kick off this week, Brett decided to come down and get the dental work done. So he's reporting in. He says, Johnny, it's a beautiful day here in Guatemala. I went to see Dr. Alex yesterday, and he was great. Probably the best dentist I've ever been to. He did the x-rays, exam, cleaning, came up with a treatment plan, and scheduled my visits with him over the next couple of weeks. Thing is, I've got some friends who need serious dental work too, and they've been just living with it because it's so expensive in the U.S. When they found out what I was doing, naturally they want a full report on my return. So there's a good chance that Dr. Alex may be getting several more Delaware gringos in the next few months. Thanks so much for the recommendation, Johnny. Signed, Brett. By the way, you know, a lot of people who come down to my expat seminar, they've got other missions on their bucket list, like, for example, Brett and the dentist. Others are looking for healthcare insurance, apartments. They need to see other specialists, or they might be checking out helicopter schools for their kids. Everybody's got their own wish list, and we're here to help. The thing is, you see, when you make plans to come down for the seminar, you've got the option of hooking up with the rest of my network, which is really one of the huge advantages of coming down. In other words, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. We've got it all covered for you. And by the way, I don't get a cent for the referrals. I just want to see you get settled with the right people. So anyway, I just thought I'd read that email from Brett, who told me before he came down, but had made contact with Dr. Alex, that the money he was saving on the cost of his treatment would pay for his entire flight, his lodging, and the seminar. How do you like that? Oh, wait a minute. There's a PS to the earlier email, the Drifter's email. He says, Johnny, forgot to ask you about the travel situation currently in Central America and Guatemala. I heard it may be partially or totally shut down once again. Is that true? Well, Drifter, I'm glad you asked that question. In fact, I've got a boots on the ground story that just came in from Chris, who made that flight last week. He says, "Hey, Johnny, just this Thursday, I flew from O'Hare to Guatemala, laying over in Houston, and back on Friday. I was just popping into Guatemala for that one-day residency requirement." All right, let me stop here for a second. You know, in Guatemala, once you get permanent residency, you only have to stop back in the country one day a year to maintain it. Though I got to say, they're pretty lax about it with this COVID-iot thing. So for all you guys and gals out there who've got residency and are worrying about that one day popping in during this COVID-iot thing, well, not to worry. You will be accommodated. All right, then Chris says, "Johnny, I was worried about the COVID-iot test because if I got a false positive, not only would I not be able to fly into Guatemala, but I would miss work for no reason. So I took a PCR test Monday at noon and got a negative result on Tuesday morning. However, I waited for that negative result before I booked my flights. For now, the rules state the test must be done within 96 hours of arrival in Guatemala, though I had heard 72 hours from multiple sources. Thing is, they don't seem to care at all about social distancing on the flights anymore. Just wearing a mask if you're not eating or drinking. Ridiculous, of course, but dem's the rules. Anyway, when I got to the United Airlines desk at O'Hare, they said they had to make sure I got the test. Also, it has to be a certain kind of PCR test. Now, I don't know if someone could get a test that's not exactly on the approved list. I don't know. The worst part of it was I had to go through a body scanner when I left Guatemala. First time ever on any flight, and they wouldn't let me opt out. There were only two Guatemalan agents running the scanner, and they didn't speak English. I made a scene, and a bilingual passenger helped me translate, but to no avail. Then, as I boarded the plane, I was pulled aside for another inspection, maybe because I made a stink for the scanner. However, when I arrived at customs in Houston, several people in front of me got facially scanned there. Fortunately, I asked, and the agent said it wasn't exactly required. But if you don't ask, wonder how long that'll last. Now, lastly, I had a vented N95 mask with me. Did you know they don't allow vented masks on flights? So I had to wear a second regular mask over my N95 mask. What the f***? Why not another mask to put over that mask to protect me from the original mask? Then what happens if there's an emergency and the oxygen mask in the plane drops down? Do you put that mask over the second mask that went over the first mask? I suppose the mask police will let us know about that. Oh, and the flight attendants even said no vented masks during their safety demonstration. Man, is there anybody in control whose brain has not turned to mush? Signed, Chris. Man, talk about being ruled by imbeciles and nitwits. No social distancing on the planes, but you gotta double up on a mask? You know, I still love that joke where the guy walks into a doctor's office and says, "Doc, when is this COVID thing gonna be over?" And the doc says, "Don't ask me, I'm not a politician." Then comes this email from Brian. He says, "Johnny, I just listened to your show that came out on Sunday, January 10th. You are absolutely right about the fact that Latinos don't know or care about online privacy and security. Case in point, a year ago, I had to help a friend, a Latina, buy an airline ticket. And before we began to discuss how to pay, I received a photo of the front and the back side of her credit card by WhatsApp. Speaking of WhatsApp, did you hear WhatsApp users are now required to agree to share all of their data with Facebook? Or maybe that suck-a-turd guy that owns Facebook got cold feet from stealing user data, so he decided to force users of WhatsApp to click on that button that says, yes, you can take my data and use it against me or sell it to the highest bidder. Now, the fact is, this new news about WhatsApp has made millions begin to migrate to similar messenger apps like Telegram, owned by a Russian named Pavel Durov. Apparently, privacy and security are better with Telegram, Signal, and Viber. They're much more secure alternative WhatsApp-like apps. Oh, and about the COVID-iot thing, I live in Denmark, and the Prime Minister here is beginning to run out of new COVID restrictions for our country. The latest is that you're not allowed to enter Denmark if you don't have a negative COVID-iot test, and the test can't be any more than 24 hours old. That means if you're from Denmark and have a positive test, you're not allowed to enter your own country anymore. And me, who thought that always being able to go to your home country for security, etc., was part of your human right. But apparently, not if you cough a few times or have a sore throat. Anyways, thanks for all the shows, Johnny. I've heard them all. And it's really amazing how everything you tell is so much like what I experienced in Paraguay, where I lived for 6 years in the 80s and traveled to, back and forth, most every year. Signed, Brian. Well, Brian, thanks for the update on how crazy things are getting in Europe. Now, about that WhatsApp thing, you've heard me say many times before that it's the lifeblood of Latin America. Everyone has it. That means you better have it too, or you won't be able to get a plumber or order a pizza or even talk to your bank representative. Yep, that's right. You know, when you go to a bank and sign up for an account, you'll be assigned a bank representative. Well, the other day I tried to get a hold of my bank representative. I called, you know, the central telex number, gave the person's name, and guess what? They gave me the person's WhatsApp number. And I said, that's it? That's all? Only the WhatsApp number? They said, yeah. That's how everyone, even professionals, are communicating with people these days. And it's absolutely true that every single Latina and Latino I know has no problems with sending their credit card, passport scans, contracts, hospital data, doesn't matter. They just take a video or photo and send it off on WhatsApp. Then again, 95% of Americans do exactly the same thing with Facebook and Twaddle. So most Americans are just as clueless. Oh, and for all the idiots out there addicted to Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok, any social media platform, including Instacrap. And of course, you all know I'm not on those platforms. Here's how I look at it. Tell me if you agree or not. Being popular on social media is like being rich in Monopoly money. I think you're with me on that. However, the problem at hand is WhatsApp. Now, if you've been keeping up with the news, what Brian said about WhatsApp changing their rules and handing over all your dats and stats to Facebook, you may have noticed that WhatsApp stock has dropped something like 13 to 15% after that announcement. Well, it certainly wasn't Latinos that were canceling the service in favor of one of the other more secure platforms. It was Americans and Europeans dropping it. Now, as for me, I have WhatsApp because I'm forced to. Like I said, can't get a plumber or a pizza without it. Not that I eat pizza. But I've also switched to a 100% secure end-to-end encrypted service called Signal. Look it up, signal.com. It's exactly like WhatsApp, though no one records or holds any files or data. But still, with any cell phone app, I would never scan a passport, credit card, hospital records, whatever. But at least, if you use Signal or Telegram, they say that's a great one too, your chats and texts are completely secure. No one can get them. Unless, of course, there's some kind of huge hack. And even so, they're protected because they're end-to-end encrypted. So anyway, just to advise everyone out there, my advice is switch to Telegram or Signal. Then hit that button that asks you if you want to include all your contacts so you can hook up with everyone again. Now, of course, you won't be able to talk to, text, or communicate with your contacts until they download that Signal app. That's signal.com, remember. The point is, once you have it, you could talk and text freely, basically giving Mr. Suck-a-Turd a virtual middle finger. So if you're coming down to Latin America or you've got a plan B in motion, go ahead, get WhatsApp because you'll need it to talk to people down here. But when discussing anything critical at all, tell them you'll do it with Signal or Telegram and they'll download the program. It takes about 3 minutes and you're all set. By the way, I got that notice from WhatsApp too, saying they were going to take all my data and give it to Suck-a-Turd. That would be starting February 8th. And if you don't click the accept button, they say they're going to block you from various parts of the service. I've got the wording right here. It says, our platform will be also collecting users' activity on WhatsApp, your service settings, your interactions with other WhatsApp users, the time and duration of your other activities with WhatsApp users, your log files, as well as performance reports and logs. Now, personally, I'd like to believe that Mr. Suck-a-Turd's in for a big ass whooping. Though, if I see him enough to get up front and personal, I'll just punch him in the kisser. You know, I'm thinking half the world hates that guy now. He deserves it. But you know, there's this thing called karma. I didn't much believe in it before because I've always thought life isn't fair. However, I notice once in a while it does kick in. Oh, and speaking of losing your privacy, how about this? Did you know that cell phone apps have found a new insidious way to spy on your information by copying the contents of your clipboard data? You know what the clipboard is, right? For example, if you're using Windows on your computer and you copy something, it'll say, when you right-click, do you want to copy this to the clipboard? That way, it's always in the computer memory to paste anywhere you like during that session. But what you didn't know, and I didn't either, until recently revealed, is that a number of big-name companies behind popular cell phone apps like Reddit, TikTok, LinkedIn, etc., are actually copying and storing the contents of your app clipboard. So who discovered that? Well, these violations were uncovered after a rollout of a new privacy feature released on iPhone iOS 14. Turns out it alerted users when applications they had opened were copying their clipboard and storing it. which meant that various applications are keeping records of any information you've ever copied, pasted, or simply stored on your clipboard. And whether you know it or not, you're using your clipboard all the time. For example, every time you copy and paste. So what's it mean? Well, that means they're not only copying the information that you use between applications to copy and paste, but also information including highly sensitive personal data such as social security numbers, passwords, credit card numbers, bank routing numbers, bank security codes, and cryptocurrency addresses. Because remember, to send or receive cryptocurrency, you have to copy and paste one of the addresses, which ends up on your clipboard. And that means all that information and more can be sold and accessed by third parties. And since the U.S. federal government has yet to pass an all-encompassing law adding the protection of personal data, it follows that there's no requirement for companies to disclose whether or not they are copying your clipboard data and storing it. However, even if there were federal guidelines, none of that would matter because other countries are not subject to U.S. laws. So then how can you avoid companies stealing and storing what you have on your clipboard? I don't know. That's to be determined. I'll be checking it out for sure, though, and let you know. However, I've always got a cleaner program installed on my computer, that is my laptop, and I always run the cleaner after every session. And in the settings, the options section, that asks you what you want to eliminate or clean, always check the box that says clipboard. Then it'll get wiped after every session. However, as far as the clipboard in your smartphone, I don't know, we need more information on that. We'll be looking into it for sure. By the way, that's one of the ways people can hack your cryptocurrency. It's that moment when you copy that 40-something character cryptocurrency address that you're most vulnerable. Because, you see, there are some hackers that can implant code in your computer to recognize you've got a crypto address on your clipboard, and as you copy and paste it, the malicious software replaces it with another address. So if you don't double-check that address before you send or receive money, you just might be sending your crypto to a hacker's address. That's why you absolutely have to have a Trezor or Nano Ledger wallet, because right before you send the dough, both of those hard wallets will display that address, and it better be the one you're sending to. And if it is, you click yes or confirm, and you're off to the races. If not, you've been hacked. Then you just abort the process, and you're okay. By the way, if you really want to get into crypto, and you want to be absolutely safe and learn all those tricks, you should look into Captain Mango's crypto course for beginners. He'll help you take all the stress and the guesswork out of buying, selling, and moving crypto around, and much more. If you're interested, and many have taken advantage of Captain Mango's course already, send an email to theexpatfiles@gmail.com.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.